Day 14. Don't live for this life, but for your heavenly home. Luke 16:9. Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You ever heard that verse explained to you? Listen to what it says. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. You can buy your friends? Well, I'll explain what it means in a moment. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, when you're gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Anyone remember the Ray Bold song, Thank You? You remember that song? Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm not a singer. My wife has all the singing abilities in our family. But thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed. And the reality is, my friend, when we give, let's say you give for Bible distribution. Let's just take that as an example. You give for Bible distribution, and let's say that Bible distribution occurs in Russia. And so you gave money to do Bible distribution in Russia. Actually, my wife and I just recently helped some people in Bhutan. Bhutan does not have, up until a year ago, has never had a Bible in their language, ever. And we met the fellow who spent 10 years translating that Bible, a fellow from Bhutan. And my wife and I gave him a computer so he could put the whole Bible into the Bhutan language and print it. But so in that, whether it's Russia or Bhutan or whatever, so when you help with Bible distribution, a day will come when you will meet someone on the other side. You will meet someone in eternal dwellings, and they will say, do you remember the time that you gave to that missionary and they gave in Bible distribution? Or I'll meet somebody in Bhutan. Do you remember the day you gave that fellow your laptop so that he could make the Bible available in the Bhutan language? And literally, my friend, I believe the Scripture teaches that you will meet friends in heaven because of your giving in this life. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So think about that reality, that when you make a giving choice, it is not just for the need of the moment, but literally you touch a life for eternity, and you experience the benefit of that, touching that life in eternity, and you yourself will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You will be friends with people in heaven because of your giving in this life. It is absolutely very, very significant that you understand the implication of your giving in this life and how it literally goes to touch others. When you give to a youth ministry, you touch others. This week there's going to be an offering taken for the Crescent Project. And there will be Muslims in heaven because of the giving you do this week. Think about that. There will be Muslims in heaven because of the giving that you do this week, and you will meet them. You will meet them. You will sit with them. You will talk with them. Very, very significant to understand the implications of our giving. Hebrews 13:14-16. For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have. Has anyone here read the book by Randy Alcorn, The Treasure Principle? Show of hands. A number of you have. If you haven't, it's a great little book. It's about, 80 pages. It's kind of like the Prayer of Jabez book. It's one of those little small booklets that's worth getting. And one of the things that Randy Alcorn says in that booklet is he asks the question, imagine on the screen, he has a dot, and then he has a line with an arrow on it. And he says, okay, he said, are you living for the dot or are you living for the line? In other words, the dot is this earth. If you're spending all of your energy and all of your focus and all of your resources living for the dot, you're living for this earth. If you're taking a portion of what God has entrusted to you and you're investing it in the kingdom of God, you're being open-handed living in a tight-fisted world, you are living for eternity. And the challenge in that book, one of the challenges is learn to live not for the dot, but to learn to live for the line. As you make expenditures, you can literally ask yourself the question, am I living for the dot or am I living for the line? Or the things that you do have in the dot, how can I take these things that are in the dot and use them for eternal purposes? And literally, we can learn to identify what it is we have, and we say, Lord, how can this be made for an eternal purpose? I remember one day I got a phone call at the camp I was at, and this fellow called me from Polk Diesel, and he said, Brian, he says, I'm just curious, does your camp need any pickup trucks? And I'm like, well, yeah, in a camp, you always need pickup trucks. And I said, why are you asking? He said, well, I work for Polk Diesel. And he said, I've been given the responsibility of discarding pickup trucks that we own. We've owned them for 3 years. They're well maintained. I've been given the responsibility to just to discard them any way I want, and then we're going to buy new ones. And he said, I'm realizing that, you know, in other words, he's living in his dot, and but he has the authority to release, you know, six pickup trucks is what I think it was. And he says, I want to use those pickup trucks for God. And so he says, if your camp can use those pickup trucks, we'll deliver them to your camp, six pickup trucks. So he could have just released them or sold them or done whatever he wanted with them. But he literally, instead of just living for the dot, he took his position and he used it for the line. He allowed it to have an eternal significance by investing in a particular ministry that he believed in. 1 Corinthians 3:12. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, caustic stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Sometimes the Bible, sometimes people think that, well, if I become a Christian, I escape the flames. Well, you do escape the flames of hell, but you do not escape the flames of judgment. And judgment, there's a judgment here that is, what did your life count for? What difference did your life make? God has saved you. God has gifted you. God has resourced you. How did you use who you were for His purposes? And the idea here is that in a believer's life, there is wood, hay, and stubble, and there are precious stones. I heard one guy tell a wonderful testimony one time of this verse, and he was studying this verse, and the cross references to it, and then he got tired, and he lay down, and he had a dream. And in his dream, he pictured that he was in heaven. And he knew he was in heaven because he was in a massive crowd of people. I mean, as far as his eyes could see, there were people this way, and people that way, and people that way, and they were all dressed in white. And he looked down and he was dressed in white. And then as he began to look around, as he was kind of getting his bearings in this crowd, he saw people that he knew. His grandfather and his grandmother and a Sunday school teacher when he was a young boy and a pastor and different people. And he began to see people that he knew and he recognized them. And there was a joy in his heart that he was in this heavenly place with all these people. These fellow believers. But then he looked and in front of every person was a pile. Wood, hay, and stubble. And some people had big piles and some people had little piles. And he was kind of shocked because he looked at one and thought, well, that was my Sunday school teacher and he was such a strong Christian and that was my pastor and he was such a wonderful believer. But he looked in front of them and he was shocked because they had wood, hay, and stubble in front of them. And then all of a sudden he looked down and he had wood, hay, and stubble. He thought, man, I wasted my life on earth and, you know, didn't count for God. And I thought I served the Lord well, but there was this panic of wood, hay, and stubble. And all of a sudden in the crowd comes the Lord Jesus Christ walking through this crowd and people are parting. And the Lord Jesus has a torch in his hand. And he was going up to people and he was talking to them face to face. And he would talk to them and he would drop the torch. And what was ever in front of them would just burn up. And then he saw people just kind of like going to the ground and he didn't quite know what was going on. And he saw some people upset and others were rejoicing. And then it came, the Lord Jesus came over to him and greeted him. And he took the torch and he dropped it down. And he said, right in front of me, all this stuff just burned in just a second. But he says, then I looked. And on the ground, there were precious stones. There were jewels. And he says, I got down on my knees and I scooped them up. And I said, Lord Jesus, these all belong to you. And he says, I then realized that there were some things in my life that were wood, hay, and stubble. And they all burned. But there were things in my life that were precious. They were done with right motives. They were done for the right reasons. And God used them. And there was a reward and there was fruitfulness to my life. And I just gave all of those to the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know the reality of how, if that's how it happens in heaven. But I think it's a pretty good word picture that in all of our lives, there's wood, hay, and stubble. We're doing stuff for the wrong reasons and the wrong motives and all of that. And all of that's going to burn. But my friends, we're also to have precious stones. We're to literally to scoop up and to give to the Lord those things that were valuable in our life. The other very real image I have of this kind of experience was I was a salesman for a year. The problem was I never had a sale. And unfortunately, I was on base plus commission. I was a salesman for a year, and I was at this company. I kind of started in February, and it was Christmas time, and it was the Christmas dinner at a nice hotel. There were about 40, 50 employees in the room. I had a wonderful Christian boss. It was an advertising agency, and he had some other divisions, and I headed up one of his divisions. I'm sitting at the dinner table, and all of a sudden the boss gets up, and he starts talking about time to give out bonuses. And so he stood up in front, and I was sitting over here, and he started going around the room, okay, all the way around the room. And he talked about every single person and what they did and how they contributed to the company and how they helped the bottom line and all it went all the way around the room. And after he talked about everyone, they came up, and he gave him a handshake, and he gave him a bonus. And I was sitting over here, and I had not had a sale in the entire year. So I am dying the entire night, you know, because I'm like, he's going to get to me. And he says, and then there's Brian. And we all know how he's been a drain on this company. We all know how he's just destroyed our bottom line. We know that, you know, I mean, you know, whatever. I was just panicked over what he would say because I knew that I hadn't had a sale of consulting services in this 11 months I had been there. And he goes all the way around the room, and then he gets over to me, and he says, and then there's Brian. He says, you know, Brian is coming every day with a smile on his face, and Brian has worked very, very hard, and he's been very, very diligent, and we're so grateful to have him on the team. And Brian, I'd like you to come up and receive your bonus. I was sure it was empty, by the way, but I went up, and there actually was a bonus in there. But what I realized was, others had really contributed and made a difference. You know, I was in a wrong fit in a job, in a choice for me, and so I wasn't able to contribute like I wanted to, but I was still part of that company, part of that family. And I think that's a little bit like heaven. You know, what we're talking about here is not expelling one from heaven. What we're talking about is, what did you do with what you got? What did you do with the gifts, the time, the talents, the abilities, the resources that God put within your life in your lifetime, and did you use them well? Is it wood, hay, and stubble kind of living, or are there really precious things you're doing that the Savior can commend? Don't live for this life, but live for your heavenly home.